You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Okay, next on the list to audition for the role of the dude is a gentleman named Bane, it looks like. Bane?
What's up with his headshot? Why the mask?
Maybe he's scarred? Shy? I don't know, that mask is weird, though.
Okay, well, I'll make it quick. I have a lunch appointment.
Mr. Bane, you're up, you're next.
It's just Bane, actually. One word.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, like Cher. Or Madonna. Or the Pope.
That's actually two words?
What?
The Pope. That's two words.
Yes, I suppose.
Okay, please stand here. You'll read with me, and we'll start when you are ready.
Okay, one moment, please.
Okay, sir, you're Lebowski. I'm a Lebowski. That's terrific. I'm very busy, so what can I do for you?
Well, sir, it's this rug I have. It really tied the room together.
You told Grant on the phone. He told me, so where do I fit in?
Well, they were looking for you. These two guys, they were trying to.
I'll say it again, all right? You told Brett, he told me, I know what happened, yes, yes.
So you know they were trying to piss on your rug.
Did I urinate on your rug?
You mean, did you personally come and pee on my...
Hello, do you speak English? Parlez vous en anglais? I'll say it again, did I urinate on your rug?
Well, no, like I said... Woo peed on the rug.
Hello. So every time, I just want to understand this, sir. Every time a rug gets micturated upon in this fair city, I have to compensate the...
Come on, man. I'm not trying to scam anybody here. I'm just...
You're just looking for a handout like every other. Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
Look, let me explain something. I'm not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me. That's or El Duder. Is Dudeness or El Duderino, if you do. You're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out and make a living just like that in the middle of a weekday.
Is this, what day is this?
But I do work, so if you don't mind.
No, look, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand, you know. This... will not stand, man. I mean, if your wife owes...
My wife is not the issue here. I hope that my wife will someday learn...
Okay, I've seen enough. Thank you, Mr. Ban. You can go now.
Actually, that's Bane. Not Ban, it's Bane.
Bane, if you would please excuse us, we'll let you know.
Okay, well, can you at least let me know either way? Whether I got it or I didn't, that would be helpful.
Don't call us. We'll call you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. I'll just take another bottle of water. Thank you.
The battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drone. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 236 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Chris Crespo, doing our thing, our Crespediso thing, hanging out on the precipice of change. Guys, big things coming, but you'll hear about that soon. But for now, we have your threat update. Current threat level is brown. Your current threat level color is brown. Safety without conscience is nothing. Our traffic report, I-4, is a mess. Oof, magoof. Here's your weather report. I think it's sunny outside. We have there's no window here. So, beginning a thumbs up. It is sunny outside. That's your weather report from co-host, co-producer, Brewster Cogburn, Drew.
I had a crack in the wall.
Yeah, look at the crack in the wall.
To see if there was any light outside.
We used to have a window, but I was like, get that out of here.
Yeah, screw that. We need to put up soundproofing instead. Who needs a window?
We need no reminder of the outside world. We need to live in our own hellscape of podcastual goodness, which is what we do here.
I mean, if you had it your way, would you ever really leave the house?
If I had it my way?
Yeah.
Probably not. I'd find a way to get up on the roof and exercise on the roof so I can get my son.
Exercise on the roof to get your son. Okay, sure. Great, right, good. Yeah.
Without having to see people or go anywhere.
Right.
I'd be like, that guy, that follows. That's it. Sit on the roof naked.
That's even weirder.
With us, returning guest, trivia master, my trivia mentor, and soon to be podcaster. We'll be talking about that down the road. That's just a podcastual tease. We won't even be addressing the rest of that this episode. Oh, what do you think of that, guys? Super tease. With us, Simon Time is here. Simon, I really enjoyed your app podcastizer.
Ad podcastizer. I don't know what it is.
My advertiser?
Yeah. I wanted to fit the word podcast in there somewhere.
Podcast teaser? Man, that's hard.
Podcastizer?
Drew.
It sounds like you've been chastised by a podcast.
Drew is LED fidget spinner crazy right now. It's working.
It's pretty. I like the LED lights on it. Now I understand.
Now
Chris.
You get it.
I didn't get it. Now I get it.
You put lights on the LED and now you get it. Or on the fidget spinner, now you get it.
I feel like those LED fidget spinners are for lazy ravers.
Yes.
We don't want to flip the light sticks around.
That is exactly what they are for.
For lazy ravers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Turn the lights down.
That's exactly what they're for. They're for lazy ravers, yeah. Imagine this thing on a stick and someone just...
You know, it cuts out half the cardio. You don't got to put out the body workout.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just spin your fidget spinner and rave and hallucinate and party. And
I mean, that's all. Seriously, I'm way too lazy for any of that. I would probably just spin it like I've been doing and just stare at it and just... That's it. I mean, I would just spend hours staring at this thing. Blow my freaking mind.
There it is.
Yeah.
I could spend hours staring at you, staring at it.
Well, and see, there we go. Now all we need is some hallucinogens, and it's a grand old time.
So hit us up on Twitter, everybody. You've got the hookup. Here we go. Lazy Raver Cinema Crespediso.
Yeah.
I'm not talking because I'm too busy Instagram videoing all this stuff, but it's not live, though, so this actually doesn't.
You know,
let go of the button. How do you see that?
You messed it up.
Is it recording? Can you see me?
Oh, I can.
Can you see me?
Yes.
All right, so now we're recording me.
Yes.
And you can you see me, Simon?
I see you.
No, it's just your face. No.
What?
No, it's just your mouth.
What?
Nope. I see you
there
seeing me.
What?
There we go.
What?
Yes.
Are we recording?
Yes.
Guys.
I don't know. Are we recording? No, we're not.
Okay, you know what? This is how you podcast, people. This is professional podcasting.
I love it.
Episode 236.
Semi-pro, Chris.
Simon, thanks for hanging out, man. How you doing, man. Buddy?
Thanks for having me, man.
Good to see you, dude.
Super pumped with all the big stuff that's going on.
Yeah, we got a lot going on, and like I teased...
Coming attractions?
Coming soon to ear holes near you, specifically the ones attached to your head, people.
Right now, it's just breathing heavy.
Right now, it's just... You're just spinning. You're just spinning. That's like ASMR. that low frequency sound. You know when people listen to the sounds. Have you heard about that?
Yeah.
ASMR shit. Yeah, we got a lot coming down the road. Big events, things, big happenings that we'll be talking about in detail in episode 237 with a special returning guest at that point, so you guys have a lot to look forward to there. But in the meantime, we gotta do the show, we gotta do our thing. It's episode 236 time. That's right, everyone applaud. I didn't mean to do that, but that's
I'm
how
surprised we got all these people in this little room.
Hey,
guys, just stay quiet back there.
That's why I got a
live studio audience, bro.
That's why I have to turn the air down so low because it gets so hot in here so fast.
All 46 people we fit in this room.
Yeah, and then I won't stop talking, so it's just like all that hot air is coming out. Guys, let's do the streaming pick of the week. You know how this goes.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming.
That's right. Crespediso streaming pick of the week time. We know how this goes. You know how this goes. We use the Crespediso randomizer 9000.1 to see what is this week's pick of the week. It might be on Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, who knows? But Simon would let us know what it is, and Drew will make sure that it is actually still out there available. So Simon, go ahead and tell people what is this week's streaming pick of the week.
I feel like I could not have picked the more appropriate movie.
Oh yeah?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's a classic called Heavyweights.
Oh, that's, I mean, we just watched this, didn't we, Drew?
I mean, we did.
I was just watching this on Netflix actually a week ago. I love this movie. Drew is going to double check, make sure it's on there. Have you seen
Heavyweights? Yeah, yeah, is that
we got a thumbs up.
Ben Stiller plays the like Nazi-like fitness coach.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. His name is Tony Perkis, and he has the Perkis system, and he is just like the biggest asshole. He is the worst person, and
isn't he kind of like resuming that role in Dodgeball?
It is. It's the same kind of super arrogant, athletic role. He does the same thing in an episode of News Radio where he is like the head salesman for a fitness gym. and he's trying to sell Phil Hartman's character on a gym membership. And he's like, oh, the same kind of over the top. What's up? You got whatever you want. You know, that kind of guy. He does that aggro character really good. Also, at the end of Heavyweights, he plays his own father.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, an older version. But he's like, it's a different thing. He's really good. Ben Stiller's really good in this movie. It's Judd Apatow wrote and directed it, and
it's also weird because Jerry Stiller is in this movie.
I was gonna
but
say
he's not playing.
But he's not playing Ben Stiller's dad. Yeah, but he is in the movie though, which is hysterical. And Jerry Stiller owns a fat camp.
Kenan Thompson from All That and SNL's in it, right?
He's one of the fat kids.
Is
also
he the only famous kid? I know the fat Spanish kid from Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. Yeah. He was famous Sean at Weiss. That time. No, and then one of the counselors is Paul Feig, who went on to be the director of like Bridesmaids and the recent Ghostbusters, a lot of the McCarthy movies.
Yeah.
The Heat. Uh-huh. He's doing all that stuff now, and now he wants to do his first non-comedy, which is pretty interesting.
And dude, Peter Berg played the camp chef.
Yeah, Peter Berg has a small role as the camp chef, and that's another face that he recognized from a lot of '90s stuff. And now he directs movies, like he directed Lone Survivor. The Boston bombing marathon one.
That one with Mark Wahlberg.
With Mark Wahlberg.
All those Mark Wahlberg movies.
All the Mark Wahlberg movies where he plays real heroes.
That's Peter Berg.
We're real heroes, guys. Me and Peter Berg, we're going to make movies about the real people, like the firefighters and the cops. If I was on that plane at 9/11, I would have stopped those terrorists with my fucking hands.
Yeah.
I have a very, very special place in my evil green heart for movies like Heavyweights and that genre. Mm-hmm. But like Bushwhacked.
No, you know,
yeah. movies like that, just stuff
the '90s, almost slapsticky type calls.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah,
of,
you know,
physical humor.
A Celtic Pride with also Daniel Stern.
And
Wayans.
It's definitely a '90s comedy, but it's it works. It's fun. It's good for the whole family. And
You knew what to expect. When you walk into a movie like that,
I think in some ways you know what to expect, and I think Heavyweights exceeds some of that a little bit with some of the Ben Stiller stuff. The way the character reacts and the way like he works out, and he's so over the top that it's like it's good. I think it actually takes that genre and pushes it just a little bit more into the plus side, into the positive side. So that's why I enjoy Heavyweights. That's why it's the pick of the week.
Well done.
I feel like you and Drew would know better than I. Mm-hmm. But I feel like nowadays people go to comedy movies and they expect knee-slapping tears of laughter or else the movie sucks.
Sure.
But with these movies in the 90s, you knew it was going to be hokey.
Yeah.
You knew it was going to be... But like I said, Heavyweights, it was such a pleasant surprise that the story was so well-crafted and you actually gave a damn about the characters, the kids. And it had a good heel and then a good feel-good at the end. The guy gets his comeuppance. Mm-hmm. Man.
And they even did the very hokey... in a way that it's like almost poking fun at this trope that's always in these camp, the summer camp movies, right? Where it's the rival camp. It's the other team. And they have to do, they always agree to do some sort of sporting event every year. And the camp that we're rooting for our heroes, they're always the loser camp that loses every year. And they're building up to whatever event. So this year it's like some baseball camp that's across the way. And so it's a baseball camp versus a fat camp in a game of baseball. That's not fair. Of course the baseball kids are going to win. My favorite part about that, the guy who's the coach for the baseball team and he's a super dick, like, I can't let my kids tell them to ease up on your
your fat kids. That's not, that'll confuse them. You know, their sporting spirit. That guy, his name is David Bowie, not Bowie, David Bowie. And he is Weird Al's sidekick in the movie UHF.
Oh, he's that
guy. He's that guy. Which is like, where's that guy been? He pops up here and there in movies throughout the 90s.
That's awesome.
Yeah, his name is David Bowie. He's just like random white guy. but he's in Heavyweights and UHF, man. Any chance I get to mention UHF, I'm going to mention it. There you go. Heavyweights, Netflix, great pick. Thank you, Simon. Let's talk about some box office numbers recap for the weekend. We're talking about that top five.
Money, 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 money. True stuff.
Coming to number five this week.
Juicy got the numbers. Numbers. Juicy got number five. True stuff.
And we're gonna do it.
I don't know how long this song goes. Maybe it's the whole thing.
Oh, no, it's not okay. Then
that was wrong. That was Chris's fidget spinner.
Yeah. No, yeah. That was more like one of those Family Guy skits.
It just when it's a...
Yeah, exactly. Number five this week.
Fair enough, number five.
The Big Sick.
The Big Sick.
Made $7.6 million, total of 16.
Man, I want to see this movie. This is one of those rom-coms that gets made every couple years. It's like, oh, this is actually good. A good version of the genre.
It happens supposedly. From time to time.
Yeah, it's got good ratings, good reviews. It's people like it. It's a comedian, Kumail Nanjiani, who he had the show on Comedy Central, The Meltdown. I think it was a stand-up based show, and it was a live show that had a Comedy Central for years. Him and his wife, it's pretty much a rom-com based on how they really got together and how they their story about how she got sick when they first met and everything. And he's from like a Pakistani background where arranged marriage was the expected thing, and he was like, oh, I like this white girl, you know, I gotta explain to my Pakistani family that I am falling in love with a white chick. And it's a movie based on that. Ray Romano plays the dad, Holly Hunter is the mom of the girl, and I thought the marketing looked funny. I still want to see it. I actually checked. I don't think it's playing here yet.
It looks like one of those movies that I can totally watch now.
It is. It doesn't look like you have to run out and see it in the theater either. It's not like we're talking about super. It's not Spider-Man or exactly. Superman, yes. or Mad Max where you got to see it on a big screen. Uh-huh. It's a rom-com. You can, yes. totally watch it at home. But, uh-huh. but anyway.
And maybe I will one day.
So that was number five. Yeah. What's number four?
Coming to number four this week, Baby Driver made an additional $8.7 million. Total of 73.
This is a movie to see in a screen, on big screen, in a theater.
Is it? Yeah. Last time I was here, you mentioned that this had potential to be the movie of the summer.
Yeah, I think so. Right now, from where I sit, maybe my favorite movie of the summer since really? It came out a few weeks ago. Yeah.
More than Wonder Woman and Spider-Man?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because it's original. First off, it's an idea this guy came up with like 20 years ago, this car chase movie that's also sort of a musical, like a rock musical, but with the action instead of dancing. And he's been developing it for a long time, and it's I like the guy's style, and I enjoy the story.
So is it basically like a series? I don't know anything about it. Uh-huh. I just found out last night that Kevin Spacey's in it.
Yep.
Basically, the guy just drives, and the getaway chases are set to different songs, like music videos almost.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is there a story?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. 100%. This story is...
It's a love story.
Story's decent.
Yeah, it's a good little story.
So there's talk, there is dialogue.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're singing throughout the movie.
Yeah, it's not a straight-up musical.
It's not that kind of musical.
But the cast is great. Kevin Spacey is the guy who puts the teams together. He finds the jobs and puts the teams together, tells them what to do.
He's the brains.
Jamie Foxx plays one of the criminals that he hires. John Hamm plays another one. John Bernthal from Walking Dead and The Punisher on the Daredevil show. He's another guy who pops up. He's in the beginning. And then the whole time there's this kid who's the driver. And he listens to music while he drives. The music is then set to his driving. It's like he drives to the music. So the action and the scenes and the editing is set to the music. And it works great. It's so much fun. Mm. It's a great soundtrack and it's super cool.
Even so much to where at one point in time, like, he stops them. And has them come back into the car so he can restart the song so it can all go smooth.
Yeah, like he plays the song so they can go and do the thing, but they don't leave right away. So he's like, no, stop. And he replays the song. So, okay, go.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really funny. And then they do it too.
Like, yeah.
Oh. Okay, then they go. It works. That's number four.
Yes.
And how much did it make total?
Total of 73.
73. I would like to see
budget of 34.
34 is a pretty good budget for that kind of return. I would like to see this get up to 100 million. That would be a nice number for Baby Driver. It's already going to be his highest grossing film.
It's only been around for 3 weeks. There's a lot of competition right now.
That's a thing, and there's more coming. It's the summer is winding down, so we're gonna get BF'd with movies here.
Summer's done, winter is here.
We're skipping fall, and winter is here.
I mean, if it sticks around in theaters, people might get around to it. It's just there's too many superhero movies, bro.
There's too many movies in general. So it's number three.
Number three. I mean, fuck. Right now, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 still in theaters.
Is it still? Yeah.
Transformers is still in theaters. Uh-huh. Wonder Woman's still in theaters. Yep. Spider-Man's still in theaters.
I need to see movies, man.
Fuck.
A lot of movies, man.
I went to the drive-in and saw Guardians and Pirates, and I haven't seen Spider-Man. I haven't seen Wonder Woman.
What was that? When did you see Guardians and Pirates? About a month ago or so?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did we talk about that on the show?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did, right? Okay, so that was last time.
Oh, coming to number three this week, Despicable Me 3. Made an additional $18.9 million, total of 187.
I like how you pronounce that. Despicable Me 3.
Yeah. Holy, wait, how long has that been out?
3 weeks.
Holy cow, man. And 180 and Baby Driver's only got 70?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Oh, that's the kids, man.
It's the kids, it's the families. That's why it's the third one of these, you know, because they crank them out. Also, let me throw on the top of that, a Minions movie, which made decent coin. That rebranded ride at Universal Studios, that first was Hanna-Barbera, and then it was Nickelodeon and Jimmy Neutron centric. Then they changed over to Minions, and since they made that changeover, the wait for that line has not been under like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And for what, 3-4 years
something
now?
Like that.
Why? The Minions, man. Minions.
And it's like when you first walk into the park, it's like the first major ride
first
you
thing
see.
Yeah. Jeez. Right across the way from Shrek. Shrek ain't having those lines.
No way, man.
Not even close. People
don't even want to wait in line for Shrek in the shade.
Yeah. It's in the shade with the misters on. The only people going on Shrek are the ones that look at the Despicable Me line like, God damn it.
I guess I'm going to Shrek.
By the time we get off Shrek, the line will be less, and then get out, and it's a longer line.
It's longer, like, God damn it, I'll just go to fucking Jimmy Fallon. Flies through a twister or whatever that stupid ride is.
Now, you guys aren't big on the Dominion style movies, right? I know I'm a huge kid, and
we like animated movies for sure.
I mean, these days I definitely lean towards the more adult animated stuff, if at all possible. But
yeah,
like Irasaku Doji. I remember the name of it this time. Irasaku Doji.
Princess Mononoke.
Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, I have that on DVD.
Irasaki Goji is pretty similar to Princess Mononoke, but he replaced the princess with giant penis monsters.
I know.
That destroy city.
Well, all right.
It's a thing.
I would like to formally request the name of this episode be changed from Lazy Ravers to Giant Penis Monsters.
Giant Penis Monsters. That'll get us flagged by iTunes.
Yeah.
We got trouble on our hands with these guys. If I knew how to spell Irasaku Doji,
you
probably wouldn't say
it. You can look it up online.
Hey, Japanese listeners. Our new Japanese listeners, help us out with this one.
They'll probably know about
that. Yeah, guys, help us out with this one. What's the Irasaku Doji movie I'm talking about?
Is it Konnichiwa? Or is that Chinese?
Konnichiwa, bitches. Welcome to Cinema Japaniso.
That sounds racist. Number two this week.
Number two.
Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Here we go.
$45.2 million, total of 208.
208 after 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's 208 domestic.
Not bad.
261 foreign, 469 worldwide.
How long?
2 weeks.
2 whole weeks. It's
and
almost at
almost
half
a billion dollars.
Yep. So probably going to top out around 750, 800, which is, to be honest, I bet you this movie makes as much money as The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Okay? When Amazing Spider-Man 2 made that much money, everyone's like, oh, failure.
Yeah.
When this one makes the same amount of money,
success.
Everyone's like, success, great success, great success.
Very nice.
Very nice, yeah, exactly.
Drew and I had a conversation about this movie in the green room earlier.
Oh, yeah? What'd you say?
I'm very villain-oriented,
mm-hmm.
and he told me about Michael Keaton and the Vulture, mm-hmm. and explained to me, we're not giving out spoilers, right?
No
spoilers.
Yeah, basically, he gave me the rundown of what makes him the bad guy.
Oh, well, the setup is within the first 10 minutes of the movie.
But it makes me so mad.
I don't think that's a spoiler.
Basically, he has an issue with Tony Stark that is justified.
And the government. Yeah, yeah.
And it makes me so mad that every villain nowadays has to be justified. Chris, you're going to have me on one time. I'll bring pizza and beer, what have you.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to do an episode solely based on bad guys and villains.
Okay.
That's my request, man. Okay. I've been a wrestling villain for 11 years now, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And if there's one thing I know how to do, it's A, tell a story, and B, how to piss people
and
off.
I'll be a bad guy.
And when I first pitched the idea of, I was telling Drew this real quick, of the Simon Says character.
Yep.
We had all the graduating class from the Federation X Entertainment Pro Wrestling School putting on the student shows.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, Simon, we're going to find something for you to do, blah, blah, blah. There's this guy that wrestled with us in our school. His name was Grover.
Okay.
Short, pudgy.
That was his real name?
That's what I called him in the school. So that's what his wrestling character ended up being.
Okay.
So short, pudgy, unassuming. His entrance music that I picked out for him was that song from the show Dinosaurs, I'm the Baby, Gotta Love Me.
Yeah.
So, of course, the kids went gaga in the crowd. The old ladies and the women loved him. So my idea was have him go out there, kiss some babies, shake some hands, schmooze, schmooze, schmooze. I come out, tell him how ugly and stupid I think he is.
Yeah.
And then have one of my charges, big, jacked up, John Davis looking guy, comes out and kills him.
Okay.
And the owner of the school was like, but why? What do you mean why? Because I think he's dumb. Because whatever happened to just being a shithead for being a shithead's sake?
Just being a bad guy.
So
you want a justification for you. It's like, what's the setup?
Exactly.
Why? I just want to be a dick and beat that dude up.
There's the two worst kind of villains are the people that just do it because they have fun doing it, and the people that do it because they think they're right.
Interesting.
You know, but this guy, the Vulture.
The Vulture.
He's rally behind that guy. He's a hero.
I side with the Vulture. I was like, Vulture's right, man. I'm Team Vulture on this one.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm also like hashtag Magneto was right.
Yeah, I almost wore that shirt. Magneto was right.
Yeah, dude. I'm Team Zemo because he's right, man. Okay. Fuck the Avengers.
I'm wearing a freaking Hydra shirt.
I'm wearing a Hydra shirt.
Yeah, but geez,
that's
man,
really
like,
funny.
So I got,
we'll do a villain show. We'll do a villains and bad guys show. That'll be a lot of fun for sure because you're an opinionated man and I like that.
That's right. And I'll bring some villain trivia for you guys.
Well, I still think Michael Keaton, that'd be awesome too. I think Michael Keaton did a great job as the Vulture. Despite how you think the bad guy is set up, what they asked him to do, he nailed it. Like, he's great.
Was it weird seeing him in the villain role after associating with Batman so significantly?
No, because it's been so much time.
Yeah, and there's been so many Batman in between.
And he's done the Birdman since then. It was almost weirder seeing Birdman.
Birdman and Vulture?
Yeah, right? Birdman, it's like, they're so similar,
Birdman
right?
was the perfect role for Michael Keaton.
It was.
It's like the movie was written for him.
Yes, exactly. So. So I think he's great in it. I really like Tom Holland. I enjoy it. I think it's a really good Spider-Man movie. Maybe my second or third favorite one. Trying to rank it after Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire ones, and then it's either, I don't know, those are my top three. That one, those two, and then this one will make my top three. I'm not exactly sure what the exact order is right at this time, but I enjoyed it. It's a fun little movie.
Dr. Octopus is my favorite fictional character of all time.
Oh, really?
And that's another story. I get so freaking mad that they turned him at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And the line, I will not die a villain. Yes, you will, man!
Yeah, because he has to have redemption or whatever.
Fuck redemption, man. Take Spider-Man and fist fuck his face with one of your tentacles. Oh, I almost said the wrong one. Tentacles! Kick his ass, take his mask off, and beat him with a...
Someone told me to ask you about this because you, and now it makes even more sense that you have very strong opinions about this character and how much you hate the betrayal of this character in this movie, but I don't think... Did they have any redemption? I'm trying to think back. I don't remember any redemption for Bane in The Dark Knight Rises.
No redemption at all.
Right?
There was a measure of it when you found out that he was only doing it because
he loved the girl.
Because she saved him.
Because he loved Talia.
And she saved his life, but he loved her.
They saved each other.
So he wasn't working on...
Pure hatred.
Pure hatred or ambitions of domination. He was doing it out of love.
As a henchman.
You know, it wasn't as bad as Sandman in Spider-Man 3 where he was like, I break the law because my daughter's sick.
Yeah.
Shut up!
That movie was terrible.
Oh, man.
That movie was terrible. So you're okay? I thought you did... For some reason, someone told me you didn't like Bane at all. You're right with
it? It was John Davis, wasn't it? Son of a bitch.
I think it was.
Fuck!
It was John Davis.
I want to go on record right now and say John Davis is 320 pounds of muscle. He's bigger than me. He's made of solid steel. And I'm going to say, fuck John Davis. God, bro. Oh, man. I just got chills. Bro, if you ever want to get me going, I'm work. My life's work is not. It's not my legacy with my son. Mm-hmm. It's not my legacy in the ring. I'm gonna write a fucking manifesto about how much I hate Dark Knight Rises, bro. I've watched that movie. God, there was a span of a month where I must have watched that thing at least once a day for 3 weeks. Legit, I can quote that thing front and backwards, well, and I have a notebook at home.
Yeah.
Where I'm griping out about everything.
You hate to watch it every day for 3 weeks,
Bro. But because I want to get every detail right when I finally release.
To get it right.
When I finally release my podcast.
But Simon, what did you not like about my movie? We're from the shadows, Simon.
Everything
I beat up a Batman and I threw him in a pit, yes. Simon. What did you not like about that?
Fucking John Davis. So we walk into an after party for a wrestling show. We're talking. Someone brought up my Riddler stuff, my singlet looks like the Riddler.
Right.
And then brought up villains. And, oh, you must have loved Bane. And I guess across the room, John Davis heard me slamming my hands down on the table and, like, veins popping out of my throat, and they're like, oh shit, he's going Simon Says mode.
Yeah.
And let me tell you another thing. And John Davis walks up, puts his hand on my shoulder, right? I'm in the middle of yelling.
Yeah.
Sits down, and proceeds to explain and try to justify and get me. I'm sorry for the rant.
No, go ahead.
And he's like,
expert.
And he's like putting all these things into place, and at the end, I got, oh, bro, I was so fucking mad because I'm like, John, how do you took away the spark that I had, because all this shit didn't make sense. And yeah. John's like, well, John, Simon, you have to look at it this way. And if you put this here, you know what, John? If I wasn't sure, I'd break my arm slapping you. And he's like, get out of here.
That's so funny.
And he brings that up, and then he shits on the movie Hocus Pocus, which I fucking love. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Does he shit on it just to piss you off?
It must. He damn must. He must enjoy watching me get all hot pissed off. And God, I would rather slam my dick in a car door
than
sit back and let John Davis did that. He did it at the Cup of Rock.
It was John Davis.
Son of a bitch.
But he said it was like, yes, that's right. It was him. That's so funny.
Ah, he got you. He got you.
Man, with friends like this.
Who needs enemas?
Yes, precisely.
Coming in number one this week.
Number one.
War for the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Weekend gross, $56.5 million.
Not bad. They were looking at a $60 million opening weekend, so maybe just a couple million under expectations for, I believe it's Warner Brothers? I
can't see Fox. The
poster over here. Fox. That is correct. Fox has been doing these for years. We saw War 4, The Planet of the Apes.
Wasted on the third one.
Which is the third one.
Should be War 4, Planet of the Apes. Yeah, it
should
have been War 4.
The fourth one should have been War 4, The Planet of the Apes.
War 4. Yeah. Fast 8.
Fast 8. Yes.
Hashtag Fate.
Hashtag fourth. Fourth. Worth. Hashtag worth.
By the way, I just want to point out real quick for the listeners, just not that you need any more credibility than you already have,
yeah,
but we are in a Crespediso studio that is covered wall to wall with movie memorabilia posters,
yeah,
and Chris fucking Crespo knew exactly where to look to reference a Planet of the Apes. I'm mystified. You're looking past me. I'm like, what the fuck is he? Oh, it's right, man, there. It's right there.
Part because it's also the newest one, too. Yeah, and also, I spent a lot of time sitting here looking at that wall.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
We saw this. We saw this the other night. War for the Planet of the Apes. Here is our spoiler-free review. Drew, what did you think of the movie?
It was good.
Yeah?
It's. I thought it was a nice ending to the this new trilogy films.
They're ending the trilogy. It is the end of these three movies.
Exactly.
Yes. Have you seen the other two?
I saw I saw the one with James Franco,
yep,
and Lithgow, and then the one
That was in the woods.
Yeah. Where would you rank it amongst the three?
Ooh.
I'm gonna ask you the same thing. Interesting.
Actually, I'm probably gonna go 3-2-1.
Wow.
So. I think so. Yeah, I think they got better.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
They definitely got better as they went on.
I think they got better. The stories got tighter and more interesting. I'll say this: I enjoyed it. The third one, it's a war movie. Okay.
Oh yeah, it is.
So it's war. Intense.
It's war.
The music. It's not even the music. It's like there's not even music. It's all like Curtis Earth would appreciate this because we were talking about this when I called into the Curtis Earth show on Thursday. We were talking about the original Planet of the Apes. The score was very atmospheric, very 70s. Lots of like just like things, mm-hmm, like that. And this movie had a lot of that going on. A lot of just like tones and stuff, and just building atmosphere and suspense as opposed to giving you actual music cues. Or there's still some music at times. But I felt like it was very throwbacky in that way, and it's very dour and very intense, to the point where halfway through a movie, a smart ape character, an evolved ape character pops up that's a comedic relief character, And it's almost like jarring how everything this character does is for humor. And then when this character pops up, I'm like, oh yeah, this movie has had no jokes whatsoever.
What? Zero.
Like the first like 45 minutes to an
hour. Zero. Like
no humor.
Like if it wasn't for quote unquote Bad Ape,
yeah.
Like it would have just been like a dour war story.
It would have been just dour and intense, and there's a concentration camp and torture and
yeah.
It's fucked up.
Wait, were they torturing the people or
they're torturing the apes?
How's Woody in it? Woody's the heel, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No,
he's a great bad guy.
Yeah.
Great bad guy. We're talking about bad guys.
Justified bad guy?
It depends if you side with the humans. It depends if you side with him. He believes in what he's doing.
So he's a Magneto.
Yeah.
It's either us or them.
He's got an ideology. Yes. And
he's an extremist.
He's an extremist.
Okay, real quick. That's one thing Drew and I talked about the Vulture. I forgot to touch on that in my mini rant.
Uh-huh.
That the Vulture is justified, but he goes to extremes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he ends up being... Whereas other people would be like, I think we're going too far. And he's like, nope, we got to do this. Woody Harrelson, his character's like, we got it. This has to be done for survival purposes. And there's an interesting tweak to the storyline that they've already been producing, right, with the first two mm-hmm. movies, with the virus and all this stuff that they managed to change. And add an interesting new layer to the mythos.
But at the same time, with that added layer, it's almost a throwback
mm-hmm.
to the original.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what happened.
It makes it possible,
right? Because that's where they're at in the original movie.
Yeah,
right. Without getting into spoilers, but if people Correct. Know from that original film. The state of the humans versus the state of the apes, this mm-hmm. movie kind of sets that up.
Yeah, it's interesting. It really does. Yeah. It almost brings it full circle.
Yeah, if you can then extrapolate, like, 60 years later, this is Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston would be, like, the next movie in the series of...
Oh!
Actually, theoretically, yeah. So if this is War for Planet of the Apes, this is the third of this trilogy, if they were going to start a new trilogy, they could theoretically just remake the original ones now mm-hmm. at this point. That's where they got into
that's
now.
Where... God!
Yeah, the
at
next...
Story-wise, they could.
The next one could be Planet of the Apes.
It would be the next logical step.
It is logical. Or they could go in a totally different direction.
Mm-hmm. Do they leave it open for it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, they closed this story that they've now set up with three movies.
But at the same time, the whole world is expanded.
At the same time, there's, your possibilities aren't unlimited, as they say in Spinal Tap. Mm-hmm. But there's still plenty of things you can do.
I don't know if this is... I'll just go ahead and ask it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this one of those things like The Walking Dead where you only know what's going on in this... story we're following our characters and you have no idea what the rest of the world is like?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because at one point I wondered that. I was like, what's going on in the rest of the world? One part of the world.
They kind of explore that.
Sort of. They talk about a little bit, but it's still just like West Coast. It's still in the California mm-hmm. area.
Yeah.
All three movies, they have not left the West Coast or the Northwest. So yeah, I don't know what the rest of the world is like, but you can extrapolate though based on what happened in the other movies. And actually there is that... So the movie... Which is I found interesting. If you don't see Rise of the Planet of the Apes or Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the movie starts with some quick text on the screen
that
explains those movies pretty succinctly. And then you can...
Star Wars-like?
Yeah, and then you can go right into this one, the third one, without seeing the other ones. Like, all right, this is I get the story.
This is the setup.
Although it helps to see the other two, because it really is all about the trajectory of Caesar.
Caesar, you know? Yeah.
And it's his story, all three movies. It's all about him. And I liked it. I think I really enjoyed these movies.
Same director?
Yes. The second two. Oh. The first one was one dude, Rupert Wyatt, who went on to do something that wasn't very good. And then this guy, Matt Reeves, he did Let Me In, the American version of... Let the Right One In. And then he did... one other movie. No, I think he went straight to Planet of the Apes. So he did those two Planet of the Apes. And his next movie, after this, now he can start on... Now that this movie is out, he can start officially on The Batman, which is supposed to be coming out... It was originally slated for late 2018. That may get pushed back. Yeah, the Affleck Batman. Affleck dropped out as director. He's staying on as actor, obviously. And then this guy, Matt Reeves, who did the last two Planet of the Apes movies... He's directing the new Batman.
Good, man.
So, and it'll be, based on this, it's going to be a dour and intense movie.
Should be fun.
And maybe Andy Serkis will be an all-CG Joker or something.
Sure, why not?
So a perfectly human character, but we still get CG 100%, Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be like Mad Hatter.
I'm just glad we get to see the real Andy Serkis in Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah, because he'll play the villain. He's like one of the main villains in Black Panther.
He's himself.
Yeah. You already see him in Captain America Civil War.
Yes.
He plays the same guy, the South African dude. So he's a white, short white guy with an accent. I don't remember the context of him being in Civil War, but he's in it.
You know, you don't see Andy Serkis playing himself that often these days.
No. Isn't he in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
In the third one, they show him as Sméagol, human form. Okay, yeah.
Well, as Hobbit form Sméagol.
Yes, exactly. And he is also plays a human character in King Kong.
Yep.
He's on the boat. He's one of the guys on the boat on the expedition.
And he's also King Kong.
And he did do a movie with Simon Pegg, Burke and Hare, I think it's called, where the two of them, it's like a two-hander. It's like an old-timey English comedy.
He was Bowie Tesla's assistant.
That's right, and he's in The Prestige as Tesla's assistant.
Bowie Tesla.
Yeah, Bowie Tesla. It's David Bowie, Nikola Tesla's assistant. So he's done some stuff. But yeah, actually, in this one, more than the other movies, with the close-ups of Caesar and looking at his eyes and his face, I felt like this Caesar looked more like Andy Serkis than any other of the Caesars. I could see Andy Serkis more.
But also looked more like a goddamn chimpanzee.
Oh, yeah. They found it. But it works better in the close-ups and the still shots. It looks real. When they start moving, the more they move, the quicker they move, the faker it looks.
Oh, yeah. I've noticed that too, man.
Yeah. There's a couple shots where, like, Caesar, he's all wet or whatever, and it has, like, a weird translucence to it. It's like the water's fake. He's fake. You know, you can tell that it looks, like, drawn.
But his eyes are real.
But the eyes are always real. Which helps a lot. Yeah. It helps a lot that everyone has, you can always see their eyes, and the eyes are always real because they're using real actors' eyes. It's a very, very smart move on their part. Because that's the thing that people complain about with animated stuff, the dead eyes, the Uncanny Valley, Polar Express, the Tom Hanks movie, where everyone, children, adults, they're dead eyes. It's a world of soulless creatures taking some train to a snowy hell. It's a weird horror movie to show to kids every Christmas, and parents insist on doing it. Parents are fucked up.
I'm very impressed with the hair, man.
Yeah. There are times when I was focusing on just the hair.
Being a big gamer, man, hair is the hardest thing to pull off, especially like in the wrestling games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like any sort of realistic movement or light hitting it or texture. And stuff
I just
like
jumped on Far Cry Primal and just, man, some of the graphics on it just blow me away.
It's crazy, right? So if you like the movies, Planet of the Apes movies, they closed out this trilogy on a high note. I think they did a good job, and people will be very excited about it. So it's good stuff. There you go. War for Planet of the Apes. Come out in theaters. No, excuse me. On DVD this week. There's a movie called Buster's Mal Heart, which is a little thriller, sort of thriller that I saw at the Florida Film Festival, starring the guy from Mr. Robot. The guy who plays the kid, Rami Malek. And it's a good little movie, Buster's Mal Heart. I just wanted to mention that because I saw the film festival. Free Fire comes out on DVD.
Hey, that was fun.
Free Fire is a fun movie that it's a shootout. It's like a two-hour shootout. The whole movie, it's about two groups of people set in the 70s. They meet up in a warehouse, like somewhere in New York City, to do a gun deal. And it goes wrong, and they get into a shootout in the warehouse, in this dilapidated warehouse. And the whole movie, it's like
them trying to kill
each other. Yeah, them all spread out in this big room and trying to take cover and shooting at each other and trying to figure out what to do next.
What?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's a fun movie, Free Fire. It's really cool. And the biggest movie coming out on DVD this week, literally the biggest movie, Kong Skull Island.
Oh, that was so much fun.
I liked it, man.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. That was a really fun movie, so everyone should check that out. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
Girls Trip.
Girls Trip. It's pretty much The Hangover meets, what was the other one? Bridesmaids. But with black chicks.
Yep.
And it looks... the trailer looks...
What is the one that just came out with the girls that kill the stripper?
Rough Night.
Rough Night.
It's like an amalgam. It's almost about...
Yeah, but... I thought Rough Night looked fun. I went and saw it. I was a little disappointed. Not as funny as I wanted it to be.
Or as dark.
I thought it was going to get darker and funnier, and it didn't either. Girls Night looks ridiculous, and I hope it gets more ridiculous than they show. Because I do want to see it. It looks absurd. I don't know if I'll get a chance to see it this weekend, though, because it's a big weekend.
Because we're going to go see Dunkirk.
We got to see Dunkirk. Wow. It's Christopher Nolan's World War II movie.
Yeah.
It's screened for critics, and it's got like pretty much near universal praise. Very intense movie from start to finish, apparently. Very intense. And I'm looking forward to a lot. And we're going to go try to see it on the Point Orlando on the big screen.
Yeah, to see what screen
out there. Mrs. Time is very excited about that.
Yeah.
This is completely random, and I apologize, but do you remember that movie with Chris Hemsworth about the whales? Was he in the whale movie?
The
one that Moby Dick
is based on? Yes. The Heart of the Sea.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, thumbs in the middle.
Wow, gotcha.
Thumbs in the middle.
I've been meaning to ask you about that, and it just reminded myself.
It's got parts of it that I like, parts of it that are like, I don't know, and then it's a weird story that in the marketing they did not reveal that part of the story involves cannibalism for survival. Whoa. Because it's based on a true story, the whole thing, the whole story of the Essex. So they didn't reveal in the trailer, but the movie got darker than I was expecting. I was like, what? So.
And last but certainly not least,
yep.
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Yes, Valerian. Luc Besson's Valerian, from the director of Leon the Professional and The Fifth Element and Lucy. Lucy being one of his most commercially successful films, which is why I keep bringing up. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't matter. It's a fun movie. It's okay.
I mean, she turns what? Into some sort of strange AI?
She turns into the black goo and then into a thumb drive. Huh. It was fun. Did you ever see Lucy?
No, I did not.
Scarlett Johansson turns into a thumb drive.
Is it worth seeing?
It's worth giving it a watch.
Yeah.
She ends up as a thumb drive?
Yeah, it's weird.
Uh-huh.
And she's a normal human being at the beginning of the movie.
And it all makes sense all the way through, and it's just kind of dumb.
And then at the end, she turns into a thumb drive. And if you watch the movie, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. It's silly. It's a lot of fun. And that guy made this movie, Valerian, which is based on a very popular... French graphic novel series that started in the 90s, I think.
Valerian. Like Valerian Steel?
Yeah, yes. Pretty much. And it's sci-fi, outer space, make 'em up, set in other worlds type thing. But based on the marketing, you can tell that it's one of those things where it's like, you have to see this in 3D. Because Luc Besson, he's like purposely doing... He wants everything to pop out at you in certain ways. He's taking advantage of the medium. So... I reserve my 3D viewings for very specific things, and I'm definitely going to see. This weekend, it's all about special viewings. Dunkirk on the IMAX screen, Valerian in 3D. That's where we're going. It's a lot of money.
It can be
expensive. Man, that's going to be an expensive movie going weekend. So I hope the movies are good, too. Yeah. Dunkirk, I'm sure, is going to be good. We'll see about Valerian.
Valerian might just be a very big, beautiful mess. I mean, it looks like it's going to be The Fifth Element on crack.
Yeah, so we'll see. Which is, I'm kind of fine with that.
No, I'm totally okay with that.
I'm fine with that. All right, so that's what's new in theaters.
Yes, sir.
Let's do this thing.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, never underestimate the power of sleep. Yesterday, I went up to my bedroom just to hang out and maybe chill out for like, 15, 20 minutes. Ended up taking a 4-hour nap. It was amazing. Never underestimate the power of sleep. Cogburn out.
Very good. Never underestimate.
3, 2, 1.
There you go. Never underestimate the power of sleep. So saith Dr. Drew Cogburn. Well done, Drew. Good job there. Let's take a break, guys. Crespo, disco time. I didn't have time to pull music specifically, so I just had to use what I had available in my Crespo Disco drive here. Apparently, I had a couple songs from the Jodorowsky's Dune soundtrack.
Nice.
So. It's weird electronic stuff, guys. Now is a perfect time if you've been sitting on that mushroom stash that you haven't dipped into just yet. Go ahead, eat a couple caps, press pause for about 45 minutes, and then hit play right when the mushrooms are kicking in. Listen to these songs. Right, Drew?
Right.
Recommend that?
Right, yes.
That's the right timeline?
Yes.
And then we'll be back with the second half of the show with Drew and Simon. And, of course, we got that Drew's of Cogman versus the World coming up. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
What is the goal of the life? Is to create yourself a soul. For me, movies are art, more than an industry. And it's a search of the human soul, as painting, as literature, as poetry. Movies are that for me.
Yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked!
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchy, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchy, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine because of your generous contribution that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men.
You're a fucker. 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 Fucker.
236 of Cinema Crespi. So I almost said we are back to the second half. Welcome back. I almost said the thing that we talked about.
Welcome back to the second half.
I almost said the off mic thing.
Now it's on mic.
But now it's on mic. I'm Chris, though. You're sure. There's no mic here. But we're with Simon. And also our reset, which that's a radio thing. We're not on the radio. This is a podcast. People what? Who listen, it's not like anyone started this in the second half of the show not knowing what was going on. Know what I mean?
That's right.
So why am Did
I,
they?
Yeah, so why
Are
am
you
I
sure?
Like, hey, it's Chris and it's Drew. Where's Simon? It's like, duh.
I don't know.
Doy.
Why, Chris?
Welcome back to the 236. It's like, duh. we took a break and we went away for a few minutes, got our drinks and did whatever. But the people listening, all they did was like either listen to the music or fast forward.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't go anywhere.
Well, I mean, we've been doing it for 235 episodes, so...
This is now 236.
Now we're going to change it?
No. I'm just saying. Habit's a weird thing. That's what I'm saying.
Correct.
Plugs, where can people find you online, Drew?
At Antihero 419 all over the internet.
Fuck yes, that's right. Email him for lotto number picks at Trusa Cogburn sees the future at he makes money for others.com.
Because I do all of those things.
Exactly. Simon, where can people find you online?
You can check me out at facebook.com/SimonTimeTrivia
yes.
for all your trivia needs, or facebook.com/TheSimonSets for all your underwear play fighting needs. I'll be wrestling July 22nd, my first match in a year and a half
yes.
for the big Wayne Van Dyke Party on Wayne tribute show. All the proceeds go to his family, our good buddy Wayne, who unfortunately and tragically passed away.
Very sad story.
And I'll be getting back in the ring, man, squeezing my ass back in my tights and doing the thing.
And
I'm most excited about... certain guests that will be in the house.
Drewster Cogburn and myself will
be there
in attendance.
Yes,
we'll in the crowd there to cheer you on. We will be there rooting for the bad guys.
That's going to be awesome, man. I can't believe you'll be there for the ceremonial face slapping, the big return since I became a father.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of sleepless rage to take out.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm wrestling Milo Beasley, who's a bum. he's when I say that, I don't mean that Mickey. Figuratively, he is a literal homeless man who wrestles for food, comes to the ring with a shopping cart and a sign that says, "We'll wrestle for food," and I plan on slapping his gin-soaked whiskers down his face.
Oh, my God. Take that. What, Milo, what's his name?
Milo Beasley.
Milo Beasley. You're going down, Milo
He's
Beasley.
He's a bum.
Milo Beasley
He's
the bum.
He's the guy who shaved my head in
what?
2011.
In a hair match? A hair versus hair match?
He actually has a teddy bear who's his best friend.
A hair versus teddy bear match?
Hair versus bear. So if he won... If he won the match,
yeah.
he got his teddy bear back.
You were,
okay. If I won the match, I got to cut his hair. He looks like Jesus. He's got a big
oh,
mangy
really?
Beard,
yeah, yeah.
big long hair.
Yeah.
Long story short, I tried to hit him with my Halliburton briefcase, and,
yeah.
he kicked it back into my face,
Aww.
Knocked me out. I was
Aww.
Never supposed to lose my hair, but when I was unconscious, the crowd started chanting, shave his head, and he freaking shaved all of it off,
no.
man. Son of a bitch.
And you got to keep the bear.
And he got to take his stupid bear.
Man, I would have thrown that bear in a wood chipper. right into the audience.
I learned my lesson, though, because the next night I wrestled a guy named Mikey,
yeah.
who is enormous, weighs like 300 pounds, but he's a five-year-old. He's got like a growth thing. A really overdeveloped five-year-old is his gimmick.
Oh, that's funny.
So he comes with a teddy bear to the ring and left it on the entrance ramp.
Yeah.
As soon as I made my way to the ring, I pulled scissors out of my boots and I cut his head off.
Nice.
And it bit me in the ass because at the end of the match, the referee was down. I had Mikey beat. Stone Cold Steve Austin's music played.
Yeah.
And a giant... man-sized teddy bear with tape around it, and it came out, gave me a Stone Cold Stunner, and I lost the match.
Are you serious?
This is real life, man.
That is so weird.
This is real life.
I would have loved to have seen that. Guys, for shenanigans similar to that, this Saturday, the 22nd?
The 22nd.
What's the name of the venue?
It's at the Seminole...
The Seminole Recreation Center or something like that?
Yeah, I got the info. Let me pull that up.
And, again, it's only $8 a ticket. The bell time is like 12:15.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's an early show, which means you can check it out if you're on that side of the state, if you're on the West Coast, if you don't mind driving from the center, Central Florida, like us, and it'll be done in the afternoon.
Make the trip, man. It's early Sunday, Sunday Funday at the Seminole Recreation Center.
Saturday.
Saturday Funday. I'm sorry. Seminole Recreation Center, 9100 113th Street.
There you go.
In North Seminole, Florida. You can check it out at facebook.com/TheSimonSays or Party On Win is the name of the show.
There you go.
And it's going to be awesome, man. You can also see me on Earth Trivia, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, Emerald_Emperor. Man, shenanigans everywhere, and hopefully a soon to come.
Actually, if you go to earthtrivia.com, you'll see the list of all the show hosts.
Yep.
And there's Simon's pictures right there with the green background. You click on that. And as a matter of fact, if you go to earthtrivia.com right now, there's also Curtis added my picture.
What? You made it!
I made it. It's a very silly picture that I took of myself, and I was definitely a little inebriated when I took it. And I sent him like 5 or 6, and I don't think he used the best one. But it's a pretty funny looking picture that you'll see.
Oh my god, this is fucking gold, dude.
Hey!
You can tell there's definitely, you look like, hey everybody!
Yeah, right? Isn't that a ridiculous picture?
Nice. You look like Barney from The Simpsons.
I look like we're here to have a good time, man.
Look simple and drunk.
But you like how I also managed to take a picture with a solid color background that was a different color from all the other solid color backgrounds?
Yeah,
man. It's in tune with what's going on.
Love it, man.
Hey, I think it's top 3 picture on there.
Gotta say, man, I feel like a proud papa seeing how far along you come. I feel like the last time I was here, you had just started getting your feet wet.
Yes.
And the time before that, as a guest, not as a co-host with you,
right? Yeah,
I feel like we were just talking about you starting to take interest and wanting to do it. And if you look back, it's like a time capsule.
Yeah,
you can listen to the Chris Crespo progression, man. And aside from the fact that I haven't been able to make it out to an actual show at your venue,
well, Jesus Christ, buddy, you're working. I'm doing my 1 gig a week, which we'll talk about in a second. You're doing 8 gigs a week, 6 nights,
eight. Eight, six nights,
eight gigs over 6 nights, right? God damn.
Monday, Tuesday, 2 Wednesdays, 2 Thursdays, Friday, Saturday, soon to come another Tuesday show, man.
Another Tuesday show?
Yeah. So I'm going to have an early Tuesday and then late Tuesday.
See, exactly. So when I'm working on Tuesday, you'll already be getting started with your second show of the evening. I came out to me and Steve Etchie from What's the Fuss. Came out to your debut at the Broadway Pizza over there at
University and Goldenrod.
Yeah, man, that was that's a cool little spot there. For they got that whole round the horseshoe shaped bar thing.
Yeah.
That I think works pretty well, probably for a setup like that. That whole little section, but it filled up really quick, though.
You know, man, I was so happy about that because I tried something different this time. I tried not to do so much guerrilla marketing.
Yeah,
I didn't make an event page and let the venue do it.
Yeah,
I didn't get posters up there till the day before.
Okay,
so it was all like pushing on Facebook every once in a while.
Yeah,
word of mouth. We had 53 people out there.
Damn, that's a lot of people.
Thursday night, 10 p.m. You know what I mean?
That's a lot of damn people. And, yeah.
I love it, man. It was
a classic Simon trivia. It was a good show. Late show, too. 10 p.m. Late show.
Hospitality night, man. People from across the way at the Baneys were coming out. And, you know, you want to get off work. You want to play a couple trivia questions.
Nah, that's okay.
Have some beer.
Go. Yeah. Well, that's good, man. Good luck with that one. I'm sure it's going to go well. Most of your gigs seem to do well. I had a good night. Good turnout, finally, at the Cork and Fork over there in East Orlando. People can check that out Tuesdays at 7 as opposed to Wednesday. I think it's going to be better because there's a lot going on Wednesday night. Wednesdays are crazy with events. Tuesday is a little lighter, and Cork and Fork is kind of a weird sort of spot, so we're trying to make that happen. But we had a great turnout. Over 30 people came out to see us on Tuesday night through Earth Trivia, award-winning Earth Trivia.
And Chris Crespo, like he mentioned earlier in the stuff in the podcast, said he does have some stuff in the works. Big news coming soon. Also, on the trivia front, I do want to say that Chris and I have been talking about some stuff, and there is a tournament-style game for heavy prizes, the Simon Time Trivia and a Trivia Crespediso. a Trivia Olympics.
Yeah, it's a Trivia Olympics.
It's coming. Guys, if you are interested in any information, if you're local, or if you just want updates on what's going on in the trivia world, you can email me at simontimetrivia@hotmail.com, mm-hmm. and I'll put you on the mailing list.
Yes.
It's got updates, where I'm at, what's going on, the podcast stuff for the Simon Time Trivia, ear candy that may be coming out soon, and of course, the Trivia Olympics, man. Chris and I are working together. As proud.
I'm so excited for
minions.
It, man.
It's going to be great, man.
It's going to be huge, Drew. We're talking two, maybe three dozen teams.
Yeah.
Like, dozens of teams playing trivia together for gigantic fucking prizes.
Big cash prizes,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
Big cash prizes. And then we're going to have charities involved.
Yep.
So it's going to be for the greater good.
Very nice.
It's going to be awesome, man. And who knows, we may need some help in some form, Drew. So I've had Drew help me out once or twice on a trivia gig, too. At Ocean Sun, he helped me out with, like, collecting answer sheets with people and stuff. Because that's a big room over there that fills up.
Drew, I feel, is like the perfect... And sidekick is not the word. He is the perfect companion.
Yes.
Like, if I was playing Fallout or something, I wouldn't want a dog companion. I would want to unlock Drew. He's the quintessential, and I'm not just saying, I'm just kissing his ass because he's here.
Yeah.
He is the quintessential, like, Watson.
I'm the number two guy.
Arthur the Moth from The Tick.
Yes.
He's my Arthur.
He's Rob Lowe / Robert Stack. Was it Robert Stack? No, the other guy. In Austin Powers. Right.
He's number two. He's not far down. He's not a henchman. He's none of those things. He's the guy. He's Bob.
He's
the
guy.
Let me say it like this, Drew. You are my number one.
just watch that movie too.
Just watch that movie.
Few minutes alone, boy.
So funny. I'm looking for Trivia Olympics. That's gonna be huge. Looking forward to that. Yeah, so what's the email address again?
SimonTimeTrivia@hotmail.com.
People sign up for that list.
Or if you want to get a hold of me and add to the mailing list, email Chris. Email Cinema Chris Benicio, tweet us.
Yep.
We do have
Oh shit, speaking of trivia. Drewstacogman. Best the world. Speaking of just a guy versus the world, real quick, yes, you can, there's many ways to
get
us up.
There's a lot of different ways.
Simon Time Trivia on Facebook, Chris Crespo Trivia on Facebook, I think it's just Crespo Trivia on Twitter. I got a Twitter account if you're into Twitter and not
Twitter
Facebook.
Trivia?
I think Crespo Trivia.
Yep.
Trivia. Crespo Trivia. It's not confusing people. Crespo Trivia.
And there's a Twitter / Simon Time Trivia, one word for mine.
Yes, there
Same
you go.
Same with Facebook, facebook.com/ Simon Time Trivia.
Many ways to follow us, get in touch with us, and find out what we're doing. And man, we got a lot planned.
Good stuff too, man. You know,
it's
I don't think we need to really push what we do, other than say come see for yourselves. I feel like a lot of these other trivia companies have to talk up what they've got and their format and stuff.
Right.
I'm so confident in all of our hosts at Earth Trivia. All you got to do is come on out and see for yourselves. We're not trying to stump you. We're not trying to prove our superior intellect by making the question so hard that it scares people away. It's camaraderie. It's fun. And it's, man, come on out and see EarthTrivia.com.
We're not trying to trick you. We're throwing jokes out there. It's all about listening to some fun, cool music, having a good time.
It's a variety trivia show is what I like to call it, man.
It is a variety show. It is 100% a variety show. Okay, I am setting myself up here, guys, for some a very special edition of Drew Sacabra vs. World. First off, Drew, after starting the year hot, cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
Came back down to earth. Mm-hmm. It happens. But,
I lost for you one time, Drew.
And then, but it was to Curtis Earth, though, so Drew did not feel bad about
one
that at
point.
All. Actually, it made Drew feel better. Did it not make you feel better?
I don't know about that.
I don't know
about
that. It was by one point.
By one singing point.
On a multiple choice question, man.
It was crazy. Okay. That was really good. But we are doing so Drew is 10-9.
Okay.
All right, so you can knock him to 500 for the year, or Drew could... get back.
Continues my slow climb out of the hole.
Get back up into the plus column. But we're gonna do a special name that tune, not tune. Name that tune version of Drew Sacabra here, in which I have 10 songs, two groups of five. I'm gonna play them for you, and they're movie songs, movie themes, and you tell me what movie.
Like scores?
Yes, movie scores, and you tell me what movie it's from. So we're going to go 1 through 5, and I try to make it go from easy to hard, each one in equal measure. Did my best. Drew, you lost last time. So, Simon, you get to go first. You set the pace, and you get to choose Group A or Group B. Choose wisely.
Let's do A.
Group A. Okay, here we go. And if some of these, for both groups, there are songs that are from, like, movie series.
Okay.
So you can just, like, say the name of a... like, if you identify the movie series. I'm not looking for a specific movie.
So, like, if I were to say Mad Max, it's okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Unlike last time when I lost to Drew and I said Mad Max...
Yes, precisely, because of that case, yes.
You specified that it was okay this time. I got it. I'll never let it go.
No, that's fine. Hold that to that grudge.
That thing is like Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. I'll never let go.
Okay. So once you know it, go ahead and identify the movie. You said Group A?
Mm-hmm.
Here we are, number one.
Back to the Future.
That is correct.
Damn.
Look at that. All right. Number two.
Halloween.
That is correct. 2 for 2 so far. Moving on to number 3. Hopefully getting a little harder now. Number 3. And I know you answer those fast, but don't feel pressured to answer them really fast. If you want to give a second to kick in, that's fine. You're making a face like you think you know it.
Mad Max.
You're going with Mad Max?
I'm making a face like I've definitely heard it.
Definitely heard it. Yeah, you're saying Mad Max. Mad Max is incorrect. Drew, you want to take a shot at it? No? This is the main theme from Pacific Rim.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Oh, you never saw Pacific Rim? It's a fun movie. It's good. I recommend it.
Giant robots, yeah.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Getting harder with number 4. Drew, you know this one? I think Drew knows this one.
I fucking heard this living in this house.
That's true, yeah. that's a home field advantage for you. Good thing you didn't get this one then.
I'm going to take a guess of something off the wall. The Watchmen?
Watchmen is incorrect. Oh. But you know what? Never a bad idea.
Never a bad idea.
To get inspiration from The Wall.
Because he gets inspiration from The Wall. He's sitting here staring at that fucking wall while he's doing this shit.
Is this on the wall? Is this on the wall somewhere?
I don't think so.
This is from Drew. You want to say it? Taxi Driver is correct. It's the main theme from Taxi Driver.
Like I said, the only reason why I know that is because you fucking play this shit for fun.
That's a good song. Listen, it just got sexy. it was tense, but then it just got sexy. All right, here we go. You're 2 for 4. Here is your 5th and final song.
Danny Elfman. Is this Edward Scissorhands?
That is correct.
Yes,
well done.
Damn. Yes, damn. Queen.
Well done. Narrowing it down to, yes, Danny Elfman.
I would have gotten it definitely.
At this point, when this kicks in, yeah. It's one of the things where I was thinking maybe it would be like a, you recognize it's Elfman, but oh, what movie? What
I recognize movie? It's Burton.
Is it Beetlejuice? No. Is it Edward Scissorhands? Nightmare Before Christmas. But yes, I identified it correctly. Yes, Edward Scissorhands. 3 for 5. Well done.
I'm confident in the fact that the two I didn't know, it's because I haven't seen the movies. I've never seen Taxi Driver all the way, so. All
right. Classic film. Great movie. And Pacific Rim. I can definitely recommend Pacific Rim. It's a fun film.
Is that the one with the big robots and monsters?
Robots versus monsters.
Giant robot right over there. With the jet in his chest thing. Okay. All right, Drew. Here we go with you. Number one. Going from easy to hard. Number one.
Indiana Jones.
That is correct. Well done. Number 2.
Goddamn John Williams, motherfucker.
Goddamn John Williams, motherfucker is correct. Here we go, number 2. Again, don't feel pressured after answering immediately. But you know it right away. That's funny. That's super funny.
Star Wars.
Oh, no, incorrect.
No.
Simon.
Batman.
It's Danny Elfman's Batman.
Whatever.
All right, here we go.
I should have listened more.
Yeah, I think if you'd given it a second.
Right here.
Right there.
Yeah,
That would have done it. That would have done it.
All right, well, you still have a chance to win. Here we go. Number three. Name the movie. Number three.
Fucking kidding me.
Simon's I almost out. Picked list B. I swear to Christ. I was like, B. No, I always pick B. Go A. Fuck.
You went A. No, nothing, nothing. Simon.
Police Academy.
Police Academy is correct.
I play the song when I'm listening, when I'm writing my trivia questions sometimes in the background.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I added it to my trivia music list. All right, Drew. Number four. Oh, that fidget spinner.
Damn it, now which Clint Eastwood Western is
this?
Ah, the good, the bad, the ugly.
That is correct. Yes. All right, see, are we going to have a tie in our hands?
I would have been 4 for 4, man.
You would have been 4 for 4.
Damn it.
God damn it. All right, here we go. Name the movie. Simon's freaking out.
Come on!
He's like 5 for 5. Fuck you. I'm like, what is this?
Pause it right there.
Right there? No, I like to let him play.
Let it burn.
I don't know.
Well, give it a second. I'll let you give it a second. This one takes a minute to build up. There's another version of the shorter version.
Yeah,
shorter. I thought I had picked a shorter version. I accidentally picked a longer one. I don't want to feel like I'm fucking useless. This. It does just say, like, the intro. I should have listened to the whole thing.
I don't think it's going to get to that part.
Damn it.
Let's see. Should I have known it by
it.
Now?
I feel bad now.
Because if so, I don't.
All right, you know what?
Don't feel bad. I knew it. Because even the other version has this part in it.
That's true.
It's fine. I don't know what it is, Chris.
No. Makes me feel like a bad trivia host.
Why?
Because I don't know the answer.
Oh, because they're supposed to get to this part. Nothing? Okay, nothing. Okay, Simon.
Top Gun!
That is correct.
There we go.
Harold Faltermeyer's Top Gun theme. Simon, time is the winner. 3-5 to 2-5. Knocking Drusa Cogburn down.
Can't believe I knew 8 of those.
You did, man.
Wow.
Good job there, Simon. Yeah. But you see, you picked the wrong group.
Yeah, man. I would have got 5 for 5.
You would have. And then I would have gone.
Would you have done better with the other one?
I would have gone 2 for 5 as well.
Okay, well, there you go.
Wait, no, yo, how many of the ones on my list did you know?
2. I was going through it in my head.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know most of those. The Pacific Rim one, I'd seen the movie, but I had no fucking idea.
Yeah, he had a face of recognition, but he didn't actually know what it was there, so. Right.
The Police Academy was a pleasant surprise. Too sweet, Drewster, too sweet.
I'm not very good with the audio cues. There.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you're more about faces. Yes. The trivia thing helps, I think, because we have to have so much music on hand.
Always playing the music.
That's where I got some of that from. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. There you go. Write that down. I got that. Put that away.
Here's a quick for you. If you ever are in a pinch with a question.
I am in a pinch.
And you have always. Switch a question on hand. Good name. So, hey, guys, not only does it rise up the crowd and rattle them like, oh, shit, this is regular, you know, the regular trivia is being wiped away. Yeah. You do a Name That TV Show tune and play the theme to Night Court. Because
why Night Court?
Because half of the time people write Barney Miller,
yeah,
and then it's a good like not a stumper but like a tricky one.
Interesting, yeah.
It gets people going, it gets them excited because they're like, oh fuck, I've heard this a million times. What is this? And then you play, and they're like, ah.
Did I tell you about how I did Brown or Bruno?
No.
The first night at Cork and Fork, I did Brown or Bruno, where all 3 rounds, I swapped out a question where the first I played a song. It was either a James Brown song or a Bruno Mars song, and everyone had to identify whether it was James Brown or Bruno Mars, so they had to write Brown or Bruno in the answer spot. And the very first song I played was Bruno Mars's most James Brown-y sounding song. So most people answered James Brown. I was like, nope, that's Bruno Mars. So then for the next two rounds, people were all fucked up. They didn't know what was going
on. That's awesome.
So I was just playing James Brown. They were like, I don't know what this is, man. This could be anything. Like, yeah,
that's awesome.
I like having fun like that. We were talking about Trivia Olympics stuff. You do that. People go to earthtrivia.com to see the many places Simon is doing trivia around town. It's funny. If you look on that list of trivia hosts, everyone's got like one gig, maybe two gigs. You look at Simon, he's like Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday. It's like amazing how much you're working. It's fantastic. We love it, and we can't wait for the wrestling on Saturday. That's going to be awesome. The Cinema Crespedito Facebook group, people join it. It's a lot of fun, and follow us on Instagram and press, you know, Twitter and stuff. Let's check in with our homie Billy D up in New York City.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Let's see what he's doing.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
All right, here we go. Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. You can hit him up on the internet at I Love Blood, all over the place. Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. And don't let the name fool you. He's a very nice guy. He's a sweetheart, Billy. Drew, take it away.
What is it, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
By the time you're reading this, I will be in the theater seeing either WFTPOTA.
What?
Apes.
Oh, apes.
Or Spider-Man, or Spider-Man, colon, Homecoming.
Yes, the colon, Homecoming.
Spider-Man. Well, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Homecoming.
The colon, Homecoming.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to last night, but a surprise trip to Red Hook fell into my lap where the conditions were, I eat my weight in smoked brisket, buy a beer for Tim and Bree, eat magic gummies, and get my face melted off by sleep. In a defunct Iron Foundry metal turned art gallery. If you saw the Deer in the Red Living Room on my IG, then you get what kind of art gallery it was. So I went and saw Sleep in a Metal Factory / Art Gallery. Mm. It was awesome.
Right.
I'm sore all over.
Oh, Billy.
I did watch Castlevania several times this week.
Oh, this is on Netflix?
Yeah.
Is it animated?
Yep, I watched it as well.
You watched it as well?
No.
Do you know about this, Simon?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's see what Billy D said about it first.
Oh, I pretty much can just put it on and watch it whenever. I really liked it. It has a lean story, and it's barely a series. All four episodes are under 100 minutes if done in a binge. It's a great intro to Wallachia and the Belmont and Dracula story presented in Castlevania. I like that they started with Castlevania 3. That way, if it wasn't successful, they didn't ruin Simon's story. Dare I say, best video game adaptation ever? I think so. My only complaint is the monster variation. Castlevania has a rich bestiary, and this barely scratched my monster itch. Only really giving us looks at three or four monsters, most of which were variations on each other. Adi Shankar, who is famous for his bootleg universe and producing Dread, fuck yeah, Dread, did a fantastic job
guiding
this across the finish line. He's also a huge nerd and a massive fan of the things he makes. I recommend you all check out Castlevania, then do a deep dive of Adi's YouTube page and check out his Venom movie starring Ryan Kwanten, his Punisher movie starring Tom Jane, his gritty Power Rangers movie starring James Vanderbeek, and many more. Stay cool, Billy D.
Billy D, our homie, we appreciate it. A lot in the works with Billy D, too, as a matter of fact, down the road. People can be excited about that. So he liked Castlevania a lot. Obviously, he's saying how he can just put it on and watch it over and over. Drew, you watched, what is it, four short episodes,
he said? I watched four 25-minute episodes.
Yeah, and what do you... And the Drew Skogman review.
Well,
what,
like he
does
said,
it line
you,
up what
you
he
can,
says?
You can... I mean, it's good, yeah. But like he said, you could barely call it a series, let alone a season.
That's how
of anything.
That's how thin the story is.
Story gets you
story
character
shmory.
Introduction, and like you, it's basically the first act of a really good story.
Oh, okay.
Right. It gets you to a point, and then I'm like, all right, now we're gonna have some fun,
mm-hmm.
and it's fucking over.
Mm-hmm. So maybe there's more coming.
Hopefully they'll do it more than fucking 2-hour segments.
Best video game adaptation of something ever. Really?
Definitely isn't Resident Evil, that's for sure.
Oh, jeez, wow. Louise. Look at that.
I mean, it's good for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I appreciated it.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean...
No.
Well, once again, kind of a low bar to hit.
That's true, too.
So...
Prince of Persia stands the time?
Yeah.
Come on. That's one of the highest reviewed video game movies ever.
It's not, not bad.
When it's aggregated, and it's at like 31%. Yeah. Resident Evil movies are like the highest ones at like 32 or 33% on Rotten Tomatoes when it comes to tomato score.
No, really, I just can't watch those movies anymore.
Nah, you know, they are what they are.
But they're terrible. Like not just as movies, like my favorite.
As everything.
It's my favorite video game series is Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And the first one came out, and I'll never forget, I watched some interview with the director of it, and I asked him, like, you kind of deviated away from a story. He was like, yeah, you know, I didn't want to make the movie too much like the games. And I was like, motherfucker, then why call it Resident Evil?
Then why even do it, right?
I'm going to make a Sonic the Hedgehog movie, but he's going to be a parrot. And he's going to be really slow. He's going to be narcoleptic. He's not going to be fast. But we're going to call it Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't want to make it too much like the game. Ass clown.
He's also going to be a normal brown hedgehog because no one's going to believe a blue hedgehog even exists. What is the point, right? They're also making a Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
What?
Yeah. I think animated, but they're making one. Oh,
boy. They've already had the awful cartoon series.
That is true.
You know who voiced them?
Twice? Three times?
You know who voiced Sonic in one of those?
No.
Steve fucking Urkel.
I'm
Jaleel
sure.
White.
Jaleel White.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
That's funny.
Good job.
Stefan Urkel.
Did I right?
Stefan Urkel.
Urkel, excuse me.
That's you know, funny. I always like to think that Family Matters, that all started, the first day of that show is the day that guy came home from Die Hard.
Reginald Val Johnson.
Yeah, because he plays a cop in Die Hard.
He plays a cop.
That is
so
awesome. Carl Winslow.
Carl Winslow. His first, he goes to work. Die Hard happens, and then his first day home is the start of Family Matters.
And then his wife is the lady who worked the elevator in Perfect Strangers or something like that. Which is like, what the fuck? Dude? Yeah. Decided to make a spinoff of that character.
Yep.
There was a lot of spinoffs at that. Steve Urkel was on Full House.
Well, that was guest cameo stuff. Yeah, they showed up. Family Matters like straight up. Yeah, yeah, they did. It was what the hell, man?
Share universe, bro.
Nothing original. All right, let's do the segment of the people. That's the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
All right, here we go. You can email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. You can use that Facebook group, although I have a feeling if you ask a question in the Facebook group, then it's just going to get answered by everyone in the group. So if you want it for the show, if you want to save it for the show, probably better to email us. If you want an instant answer, Facebook group. There you go. Or tweet us. That's another way, @crespediso. Or hit me on Twitter @IamChrisCrespo. Or hit me up in person if you see me out in the real world, but don't expect me to actually remember it unless you write it down. Hand it to me on a piece of paper.
Punch me in the face.
And then punch me in the face. And then, wait, no, don't. Why did I? No, that's a bad idea. Drew, take it away.
We got an email from Doug.
What's up, Doug?
Chris and Drew. In between binging shitty Netflix originals, I was able to leave my house to catch an advanced screening of War for the Planet of the Apes at Alamo Drafthouse, Brooklyn, on Monday, and regretfully catch Wish Upon on Thursday. At least no one else has to go to that now. Here's some reviews.
Thanks. Actually, we do appreciate when our listeners go and see the movies that we don't want to see. That helps us out a lot.
War for the Planet of the Apes. Reminiscent of the classic prestige pictures and epics of yesteryear, technology is grand, huh? Give Andy Serkis his damn award already. Seriously.
Yeah, for real, man. Andy Serkis is great. He's great. And he gets the shaft because it's animated, right? Because it's the motion capture. And the old Academy members don't recognize that as like acting or whatever yet. And it's incredible the way they use his facial stuff.
Yeah.
It's a real shame.
It's acting.
Yeah, he's great.
You get me?
Okay, I haven't heard of this. I don't even know what this is.
Crazy stalker girl tries to ruin guy's life. Perpetuates the quote-unquote crazy bitch stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Not very original for a quote-unquote Netflix original.
No.
Avoid.
Take that, Netflix. Boom.
The Discovery.
Okay.
If an afterlife was guaranteed, would you kill yourself to go there? A premise with potential is spoiled by lukewarm execution. Some emotional moments still shine through the blandness, however.
He said, when he said spoiled by a lukewarm execution, I thought he was going to say spoiled by Luke Perry. I was like, oh, that's a weird dig at that guy.
And Wish Upon.
Wish Upon. Here's the one, a.k.a. Wishbox. That's what my brother called it. It made me laugh so hard.
Like Final Destination, but with extra steps. Totally unremarkable at best and cringe-inducing at worst.
Ooh.
Written by someone who has never met an actual teenager. Avoid.
I hate movies like that.
I haven't gotten my lollipops in the mail just yet, so I'll probably have my review for those next week.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes, Doug mentioned.
Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Actually, he mentioned, I think, in the email or something. He mentioned that he would get Big Tim's fancy as fuck lollipops. He would order some and then send us reviews, lollipop reviews.
Is that Doug Loves Movies?
No. His name just happens to be Doug as well. And that would be cool if it was Doug Benson. It's not Doug Benson.
But no, he doesn't care.
He doesn't listen to our show. Yeah. No, it's a fella, Doug, up in the New Jersey area, I believe.
Okay.
And it's got to be Central Jersey if he's able to go up into Brooklyn for advanced screenings of movies and stuff, because there's trains there, path. Get up there. You take the New Jersey PATH train up through Grand Central, right, and then you get off there, and then you can take the N or the R into Brooklyn, and you get off, and you can take the one up through 22nd Street, and you take that down to the IFC Center, and then you can get in on that.
I just use Google Maps,
or you just use Google Maps or
which
Uber,
which has Uber. Oh man, Uber was great my last trip to New York.
There you go.
It was so easy.
Thanks, Doug. We appreciate it. Thanks for taking that bullet for us on Wish Upon, which is apparently just
apparently it's a bullet.
Final destination
with more steps,
but with more steps. That's a funny way to put that. All right, here we go. Well, then, is that for Vox Populi?
That is everything.
All right, yes. It's a light weekend of Vox Populi. Then let's get into the movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently, Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, Crespedies and Movie News segment, the most important segment of all podcastdom, because we talk about the hottest celebrity divorces. What's going on with the Flipper Flop couple that they got their divorce? That's crazy. What's going on with Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck? He's got a new girlfriend. And most importantly, what's going on with Justin Bieber? Simon, what's up with the Biebs?
He's trying to build the world's largest collection of fidget spinners, I hear.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. That was
We could send him this one.
Yeah, we can. Oh, apparently he doesn't have that one. He doesn't have that one. Oh, good. Good luck, Justin Bieber.
Slap a couple Cinema Crespediso
logo there on it.
All right, you know what? A mediocre time with Tom and Dan. I guess Tom got drunk or something. Thought it was a good idea. Ordered a whole bunch of Tom and Dan
fidget spinners
with the Tom and Dan logo on them. Yeah, and they're selling them for like $7 a pop on their website. And when they put them up on like Instagram and whatever on social media, a lot of people are like, "Man, you guys have gone the way of Kiss. Like, this is absurd." A lot of people are like straight up hating on them for ordering Tom and Dan fidget spinners. Meanwhile, Tom, he ordered them and then was immediately embarrassed. And then Dan was just like, "God damn it." By the time we even get them in stock, they're going to be out of style. It's hysterical. It's really funny. So now they have like thousands of fidget spinners that they'll be giving away at events for free pretty soon.
Backlash.
Yeah, got backlash for just trying to give people something fun. And to be fair, for being fidget spinners, I mean, they're kind of cool. They got their color scheme down, the red, gold, yellow thing going on, and their logo. Drew shaking his head in disapproval. Because we're completely opposite in the merchandising.
What merchandise, Chris?
There's like 20 Crespediso shirts out there in the world, total. With two designs, maybe 30.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. A handful of them are probably car dish rags or towel rags by now. Yes. Movie news. Here we go. Let's talk about some quick movie news stories here, and then we'll wrap this show up. Here we go. First off, we mentioned Matt Reeves doing the Planet of the Apes movies. Now he's working on the Batman. They actually announced that Ben Affleck, he was working on the script for the Batman with his co-writer, the guy that he wrote like Arthur Stone. And with Matt Reeves coming on, they're starting from square one with a script. So that whole screenplay is in the trash. That story that Ben Affleck came up with is done, which is bad news for Joe Manganiello's Deathstroke character, because he was cast as Deathstroke the villain. He was gonna be the main villain. Now that story's in a dumpster. He may not even be in the movie anymore.
Damn, man. Wasn't that guy like getting in shape and stuff too?
Oh, he was already in shape. He was probably
super jacked.
He was probably a few months into like a workout routine with like swords and stuff. And yeah, he's on his way to being a Deathstroke type guy. And it's like, yeah, we don't need that anymore. It's like, damn, I can use a sword now. What am I? I gotta find a samurai movie to do. You know. Meanwhile, David Ayer, the guy who directed Suicide Squad. he was going to do the Scarface remake, had to drop out because of scheduling. He can't do it anymore. At the same time, Suicide Squad 2, that's being developed, was going to be directed by Mel Gibson. He dropped out.
What?
Yes, we announced that a while ago. Mel Gibson was directing Suicide Squad 2 as part of his comeback.
How religious can you make Suicide Squad?
Right, he was going to make a throw in a Jesus character in there somehow. But he has dropped out for whatever reason. To replace him on Suicide Squad 2, looking at the director who just did The Shallows, Jaume Collet, Jaume Collet, Sarah, whatever the person's name is. Whatever. It's the person who did The Shallows with Blake Lively.
Loved it.
That movie Orphan, remember? Yeah, that was a weird little movie. And another like weird little creepy movie. It's an interesting choice, I think, for a comic book movie like this about bad guys. But that's what's going on there. And then sticking with the whole comic book thing, Wonder Woman 2 reportedly going to be set in the 80s. Still, Wonder Woman 2 will still be before the events of Man of Steel and these movies we're seeing now in Justice League. It's a throwback-y type movie, but it's in the 80s, which is so I'm not sure. I've like
can't wait to see the wardrobes.
Feathery hair, yeah, right. Maybe at one point she'll be dressed like Linda Carter.
She definitely will. They will definitely allude to the old TV show. Right, that one.
How do you not?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how when you put out movies, well, not we, not us, but when companies put out movies in other countries, they have to change the title.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, but for cultural reasons, whatever, a word or a phrase doesn't translate the same way, they gotta change it. One of my favorite examples of this of all time, this is a good trivia question for you to use down the road if you don't notice already, Simon. Do you know, how should I present this question? Here's a way that's a leading question to help people. Because when you give a question like this for trivia people, for contestants, you want them to help them answer it, right? You want them to at least have a shot. So let me try to phrase this in a way that you have a shot. What popular 80s action movie is called, in Russia, A Hard Nut to Crack?
I don't know. Lethal Weapon?
Interesting guess. You want to take a guess, Drew?
Die Hard
is correct. In Russia, Die Hard is called A Hard Nut to Crack. Die Hard 2 is A Hard Nut to Crack 2. A Hard Nut to Crack 3, so on and so forth.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that weird? In another country...
A Hard Nut to Crack with a Vengeance?
No, yeah, that'd be funny if they went with that. In another country, the first Die Hard is called something like Christmas Office Party or something weird like that. Like, literally about the Christmas Office Party is what they latch onto for a title. I bring all that up because that still happens all the time. In this case... Thor Ragnarok will not be called Thor Ragnarok in Japan because the Japanese don't know what Ragnarok is. They're trying to call it Ragnarok.
They don't understand Norse apocalypse.
Yeah, it's we as English speakers barely understand what's going on in America, what's going on with Ragnarok and Norse apocalypse. We just know it's a cool sounding name. There's a small segment of Americans out there who hear Ragnarok, the first thing they think of is Gwar. So in Japan, they're not calling it Thor Ragnarok. You want to take a guess what they might be calling it? Any guess whatsoever.
A Hard Thor to Crack.
A Hard Thor to Crack is hysterical, but no. Here's a look at the poster.
Thor, Intergalactic Gladiator.
Dragon Ball's Thor.
Dragon Ball Thor. That Thor poster right there, yeah.
Weird.
Intergalactic Gladiator. You want to say with Intergalactic Gladiator?
Sure.
That's actually pretty funny.
It's going to be called Thorable Bosses.
Thorable Bosses 3. Is it going to be called Mighty Thor, Battle Royale?
With cheese?
With cheese. Battle Royale with cheese.
Or with Japanese kids.
Or with Japanese children. They're obviously focusing on the whole Game Master.
Yeah.
He has been captured and forced to fight gladiatorial style against Hulk. They're going to focus on that in the marketing. They're calling it Thor Battle Royale. Which is interesting as opposed to Thor Ragnarok. In the long run, it doesn't matter. It's the same movie.
Yeah.
They're going to see it.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute. Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 also has a crazy name in Japan. It's a really wacky name, too. They're like, I could probably find that out really fast.
Anamorphic Tree Man and Raccoon Save the Day.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy in Japan.
Alien WWE Champion.
Is called... Guardians of the Galaxy. Never mind.
All right.
Pulled that one out of your ass.
There it
that
is. There you have it.
The Japanese understand guarding galaxies, apparently.
That's a real bummer of a reveal there, Chris. I gotta say, you're really blowing it, buddy.
Drew, did that like come to him in a dream or something?
It must have. No, he was just talking out of his ass. He was like, oh, you know what? I bet you're going into the galaxy because it's a weird name. I bet you it'll be a really weird name in Japan. Ha ha ha. Oh, fuck, I was wrong.
China! It was China, not Japan. That's why, according to Cinema Blend, China changed Guardians of the Galaxy's title, and it's hilariously awkward. In China, according to the poster, the movie is called Interplanetary Unusual Attacking Team.
Yeah.
What a great name. Yeah. I'm going to start a wrestling group, and that's what we're going to call ourselves. Yep.
The Interplanetary Unusual Attacking Team?
Yes.
That's the name of the original Guardians of the Galaxy. So the new one is Interplanetary Unusual Attacking Team.
Volume 2. Interplanetary Unusual Attacking Team.
Okay, I wasn't insane. It was just an old story for a different country. But it's...
You're being Asian racist, Chris.
I was being ageist.
Not ageist.
I'm sorry.
But ageist.
Well, the only good racist joke I know is an Asian one. And a couple Dominican ones. Do I want to talk about any of these other stories? Apparently, Quentin Tarantino announced his 9th movie, which is going to be a Charles Manson murders movie. He's doing a movie about the Manson murders, talking to Margot Robbie about playing Sharon Tate, who was kidnapped whilst pregnant.
I know about
the Manson
Tate
family.
Yeah, the
Tate murdered whilst pregnant, baby cut out of her. Yeah. Very sad. Mm-hmm. Roman Polanski's the director, who he fled the head of survived the Holocaust to come to America, put his life back together, and then have his pregnant wife taken away from him and murdered, and his baby cut out.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. The Tate LaBianca murders.
It's a great story. Quentin Tarantino wants to make a movie about it.
When I heard about that, I mean, it's right up his alley. Literally, the blood would be comical.
Is it supposed to be a comical story, though?
I mean, you're gonna have to make it kind of funny. If not, it's just going to be a fucking snuff film.
Yeah, right. Ugh, I don't know. It's gonna be weird. I don't know how I feel about Tarantino doing
Charlie.
Doing Charlie Manson. Movie.
He might be having fun with. He's just having fun with Charlie.
Having fun with iconography that just happens to be still alive, still kicking. Charles Manson still out there and not there. He's on death row.
Well, yeah, he's
not
on death
row, but he's in prison.
Yeah, he's been denied parole how many times?
Each time. Each and every time. All right, let's get into...
You tickled my fancy. Your translation thing?
Yeah.
Bro, have you seen, the top list?
What do you got?
In China, Ghostbusters, the remake with the girls, is called Superpower Dare Die Team.
Yeah, I've heard
of that. Full Monty is called Six Naked Pigs in China.
Six Naked
Pigs. Die Hard with a Vengeance is called Die Hard Mega Hard in Denmark.
Whoa. Mega Hard? Whoa.
In Italy, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is called If You Leave Me, I Delete You.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Airplane is known as The Unbelievable Trip in a Wacky Aeroplane in Germany. And probably my favorite one in China. Boogie Nights is called His Powerful Device Makes Him Famous.
Yes, it does.
Leaving Las Vegas in Japan is called I'm Drunk and You're a Prostitute.
So literal.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so literal.
I'm Drunk and You're a Prostitute.
As Good as It Gets, which is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
In China, it's called Mr. Cat Poop.
Mr. Cat Poop. That doesn't make any sense. Did they call Transformers something different, or is it still Transformers?
Transmorphers.
So understand Transformers?
Transmorphers.
Sandwich Wiki. The Decepticons have unleashed trivia, Sandwich Wiki.
Knocked Up in China is called One Night Big Belly.
Oh, get it?
In Argentina, Greece is called Vaseline.
Ah, wow. Get it, Greece.
I guess you can still use Vaseline in your hair.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't use Vaseline on cars, though.
In China, a sixth sense is called He's a Ghost.
That's a spoiler
they
alert!
They spoiled it. The title.
He's a Ghost.
That spoiled it.
That's hilarious.
Home Alone is called Mom, I Missed the Plane in France.
Yeah.
Very
the Matrix
literal.
In France is called The Young People Who Traverse Dimensions While Wearing Sunglasses.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
That's fake.
They do.
That's hashtag fake news right there.
They do.
Why would they call a title that? That's insane. Imagine if we call our titles that.
Jeez Louise.
They transverse reality.
Imagine if we called Avengers like a five superheroes get together to thwart an alien attack.
Yeah.
I three tickets, please. The five alien superheroes get together to
thwart an alien attack.
Like, what? We don't have that movie, sir. Oh, I got the words wrong. There's so many goddamn words to this title.
Yeah. Don't be a menace to South Central.
While jerking your juice in the hood.
While jerking your juice in the hood? Jerking your juice?
Drinking.
I thought you said jerking.
No.
I'm pretty sure you said jerking your juice.
No, I didn't. I said
pretty
drinking.
Sure you jerked your juice. Why are you jerking your juice for?
I'm bored.
Fair enough.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the Lightwing round.
All right, here we go. Lightning round time. You know how this goes, Simon. Simon Witwicky. Are you? Have you ever seen any Transformers in person? Are you sure you're not a Witwicken? What do they call them? Witwickens?
Witwickens.
Are you a Witwicken?
I have seen a Transformers.
You see a Transformers, so you're a Witwicken. Are you keeping the secret history of the Transformers alive? According to Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah.
There's a secret history that they made five movies about, apparently.
Yeah.
And secret there's a whole, it's a secret history. Sam Witwicky, the Transformers, the Decepticons.
The Decepticons are coming. That's Sam Witwicky. That's amazing. Oh, look at me, I'm a Transformer. Now you're a Transformer. Where is Megatron? Sam Witwicky. You are Megatron.
Oh, damn it. Wrong way.
No, that's supposed
to be Megatron.
No, that's just the devil. It's this one, it's only this one specifically, but you still have to robot your own voice.
Can you put like a Megatron spin? I want to see if I can do like a kick-ass, like wrestling type thing with it. Like,
this one's...
Check.
No, here, do this one.
Yeah,
go.
Check.
Attention, mortal humans. Should you fail to listen to Cinema Crespediso, you will bow at the feet of Drewster Conburn and your intergalactic cinema host, Chris Crespo, or I, the Hand of Vengeance, Simon Time, will nail you to the wall and cackle in the faces of your loved ones.
That is genuinely creepy.
That was great. That was perfect. I think I'm going to cut that out and make that a promo.
That's how I get the boys to behave.
That's how you tell them to go to bed. Time to go to sleep.
Or I will put you to sleep.
Go to fuck to sleep. Go to fuck to sleep, Sam Witwicky. Go to fuck to sleep.
Okay, guys, I've been drinking. That
makes it an entirely different situation.
I've been drinking vodka and eating donuts, so I've been riding that sugar high for the last couple hours.
Breakfast of champions.
God, exercise. Come on. I feel it's inside me. It's like... squishing my guts from the inside out. I'm dying. The sugar's killing me. Lightning round. 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Simon, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Number one, here we go. If you could be any tree in the world, would you let birds poop on you?
No.
Number two, emojis. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Number three, why do we poo and pee?
Oh, we have to.
Okay,
fair enough.
We have to. Number four, what's up with hot dogs?
What's up with you?
Number five.
What's up with hot dogs?
Number five. Do you like jazz?
No.
Ooh, number six.
Hey.
Number six. Hambone or Nina Simone?
Ooh, Hambone.
Number seven. What is your favorite lunch meat?
Salami.
Number eight. Where is the Big Bad Wolf?
Wherever Carmen Sandiego is.
Number nine. Peanuts or donuts?
Peanuts.
And finally, number 10, would you rather be able to fly slowly or be able to teleport instantly, but you get a bad nosebleed each time?
I'd rather transport.
You'd rather transport, yeah. But then get the nosebleeds?
Yeah.
It's a bad nosebleed.
That's great.
All right,
take cool pictures for Instagram.
Okay, there you go. Bloody nosebleed. They had transported to China and I'm put up bloody looking like Andrew WK on that one album cover. Here we go. And around swag baggery. Let's see what we got. Drew, break it out. We have a flowery bag. We got a green bag. Simon, which one do you may want to take home to your kids today?
Yeah, I think as the Emerald Emperor, I would be turning against my roots. I have to go with the green.
I feel like we're almost forcing you in that way. I feel bad about that.
Sir, you may get to go home with a light-up spinner. It's a bright LED light. Launch it high. Watch it spin down. Directions are on the back. It's battery-operated.
Oh, it's one of those things that you can shoot up into the sky. Not a fidget spinner, a different spinner.
We got some pizza cards. 68 stickers are included. They're scented pizza slices.
Scented. How did they make that smell like... Is that scented?
You got some jokes and gags, dog poop. Yuck!
Scratch and sniff.
Scratch and sniff that dog poo, yeah.
You got a Swervy Jones Brew Tap House koozie.
There you go. Keep your drinks cold.
A bunch of fucking stickers.
And a bunch of fucking stickers.
Where's my bootleg DVD?
Oh, man.
Not in this one.
Not in that one.
Damn. Sorry.
You can't take them for granted.
You don't always get Cinema Crest Producer bootleg editions of DVDs.
So you can take home those pizza stickers, those toys, that light up toy that spins in the sky, and those stickers, or you put them away. And you gotta take what Drew Sycamore has in the box right over here.
Let's do the box.
Oh, shit, just like that. Here we go. He pops the top, he reaches in.
Yeah! We just talked about ravers. It's freaking kismet, dude. It was supposed to happen.
Glow sticks? Sweet.
Glow sticks. Rave time.
The system is down. The system is down.
Guys. This has been a lot of fun. Episode 236 is in the books. Drew, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Simon, enjoy the glowiness as you watch Game of Thrones tonight.
Oh,
raving away.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is fucking here,
but
damn
now
it.
You can crack the glow stick and then you can see in the snow. There you go. Simon, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Contact us, Cinema Crest Bistro. We got big announcements next week, so make sure you listen to 237. We got a special guest lined up as well. Break up the big banks, be excellent to each other. Hide your money in your mattresses. Read more books. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. Peace out.